I want to read to you today the 52nd Psalm and invite you before we do that to bow your heads as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for bringing us together in your name, for being here in your house and to have received words of forgiveness, to have been able to lift our voices in praise, and to be able to open your word and invite you to speak into our lives. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's powerful and alive and relevant. And so I pray with the word open before us that you will also open our hearts, open our lives to be able to receive, to hear, and to put it into practice in our lives. Bless us now with your word, we pray. And we do so in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. So, Psalm 52. Why do you boast, O mighty one, of mischief done against the godly? All day long you are plotting destruction. Your tongue is like a sharp razor, you worker of treachery. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking the truth. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear and will laugh at the evildoer, saying, "See, the one who would not take refuge in God but trusted in abundant riches and sought refuge in wealth. But I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because of what you've done. In the presence of the faithful, I will proclaim your name, for it is good." This is the word of the Lord. So, words can wound and they can also heal. You know, the human body has many different parts: the heart, the lungs, the stomach, the liver, the kidneys, and so many more. And God created them all intricately and wonderfully, and they are all marvelous in their own way. But there's one organ, though, that is distinctly underrated, and that is the tongue. I mean, just think of what the tongue can do. It's more flexible than any other part of the body. It can enlarge, it can contract, it can twist itself into a number of different shapes. The tongue is essential to the digestive system. When we eat, it churns the food around in our mouths, coating it with saliva. And then when we swallow, it pushes the food on its way down the throat to the stomach. And the tongue is also home to our taste buds. It tells our brains whether food is sweet or sour or salty or bitter. And so the tongue is an early warning system. It helps us to avoid foods that are harmful, and it leads us towards foods that nurture health. I mean, and so all of that is pretty amazing if you think about it. Now, apart from its essential role in the digestive system, the tongue has another completely different purpose. It's our principal organ of speech. I'm sorry, Rebecca, just go to the beginning and then click on words. I mean, just go to the beginning so that the beginning of the sermon presentation, just click on the beginning, the first one. No, the where the scripture reading is. All right, now I go to, you know, whatever slide you need to be on. It should work. Thank you. So what I'm saying is that the tongue as a role in producing sounds. It shapes the, you know, the air we exhale into words, repositioning itself with each syllable at various locations within the mouth. And if you have the misfortune of losing your tongue, or even a part of it, you become incapable of speech, and you basically can't talk anymore. Now, the people of old knew about the importance of the tongue. And we can see it in these words of Psalm 52. Because the writer here is not celebrating the tongue's marvelous capabilities. It's more like the tongue is a curse, he says. A deadly weapon that is, as a matter of fact, very dangerous. In referring to a nemesis, the writer says in verse 2, your tongue is like a sharp razor. And so something is causing severe damage. Someone is causing severe damage with their words. The writer says all day long, you are plotting destruction. Says you're someone who loves evil and delights in making plans to ruin others. He says, you love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. Now, we're not sure exactly, you know, what suffering this adversary has caused. But it clearly has something to do with the spoken word. Because you see, some bullies pummel with their fists. This person uses words as a switchblade. And so just think about it. I mean, words are the common coin of our social relationships. Sometimes we belittle them, okay? We try and make them out to be not that important. I mean, we talk about disparaging political speech as speech is only rhetoric. It's only rhetoric. And sometimes we complain about trivial, small talk conversations that happen. But what we don't realize is that these small talk chats function as the glue in many relationships. And so the thing is, words can be very, very powerful. Just think of what it means to hear someone say, I love you. I love you. Or to hear that very same person say, I never want to see you again. I mean, sometimes words are just words and they are insubstantial. Other times, they can be deadly daggers running us through to the very heart. And it's this lethal use of words that the writer of Psalm 52 is concerned about. Now, the flip side of this, of course, is that the tongue can also unite us with others. When you love someone, you might, you know, give that person a knowing look with your eyes. Or maybe you will touch the person gently with your hand. Or give him or her a powerful embrace. And you do this to build connections with the person you love. But the communicative power of all these body parts is nothing, nothing compared to that which you produce with your tongue. And how we use our words can bring joy or devastation. So your tongue is a powerful force for good or for evil. But there's also something about false words. The idea of not speaking the truth. Someone once said, truth is like fine china. If it breaks, it can be mended, but it will never be the same again. Do you remember the last time you broke something precious? Maybe you were lifting a china teacup. I don't know if china, are they still around? Maybe you were lifting a, you know, a china teacup off the upper shelf and it slipped from your hands, falling end over end in the slow motion that only precious things can fall, until it met the floor with a crash. And then, sick at heart, you gathered up the pieces and put them away out of sight. And now, weeks later, you take the fragments and you glue them together. But it's never the same again, is it? No matter how expertly you reunite the pieces, no matter how strong the crazy glue is, the crack is still there. And even if it's nearly invisible, you know it's there. And every time you take that teacup off the shelf, you see that hairline crack. And I guess you can still use the cup, but it'll never be the same again. And that's the way it is with lies. That's the effect lies have on human relationships. I'm not talking about those so-called, you know, white lies, those little white lies, okay? The ones that are not meant to harm anyone. I mean, we can't admire any kind of falsehood, but while lies, white lies, do rarely extreme damage, what's more devastating is when you break your vows, for instance, or when you betray someone's trust. And maybe that's what the psalmist's complaint is about when he talks about words that devour. That the person loves falsehood and lies more than truth. So I don't know if you've ever experienced the deep pain and the agony of discovering that a promise that you made long ago has been habitually and deliberately broken. That someone has been lying to you all this time. It's like the crack in the china teacup, you know. The sea may be repaired and the cup may be usable for years afterwards, but never again is the thing of beauty and delight that it once was. And it's the same when someone lies to you and betrays your trust. And so the best advice for all of us is not to lie in the first place, you know, to always speak words of truth. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians 4, stop lying to each other. Tell the truth, for we are parts of each other, and when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves. So it's not only are we hurting others, but we are hurting ourselves when we lie. Because we are parts of each other. We belong to each other in families, in friendships, in the church. We are really interconnected. And so we have the obligation to speak and to live truth. Now, does this give you license to go around and simply spill your thoughts at every opportunity? You know, like the woman who said to John Wesley, and by the way, this woman was a harsh critic of other people. And so she once told John Wesley, Mr. Wesley, you know, my talent is to speak my mind. Do you know any people like that? Ma'am, Wesley replied, you know, God wouldn't care a bit if you would bury that talent. You see, sometimes there's a subtle difference between facts and truth. So your words can be factual, but may still fail to be true. True to who we call to be as followers of Christ. Like the old saying goes, the devil sometimes speaks the truth. I mean, you can wound a friend just as much and just as thoroughly with facts as with lies. So the criticism may be true and may even be needed at times, but if it hits the person where self-esteem is weakest, it'll tear them down instead of building them up. William Penn, you know, one of the early Quaker leaders, once said, "If thou thinkest twice before thou speakest once, thou wilt speak twice the better for it." So it's when we speak without thinking that we truly get into trouble, right? Many years ago, a woman was proud to welcome the financier J.P. Morgan to her house for tea. And Morgan was not a handsome man. He was known especially for his bulbous nose. And so his hostess walked up to him with a teacup in her hand and asked, "Mr. Morgan, would you like lemon or cream in your nose?" So no doubt it was factual that the woman was horrified by Morgan's nose, but speaking the facts is not the same as speaking the truth. And we know, listen, we know that God is love. And the great commandment is all about love. And so when we're speaking truly as a Christian, we still need to speak love. I want to get back to this idea of tearing people down with our words instead of building them up with our words. In Ephesians 4:29, the Apostle Paul says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." It says, watch the way you talk. Say only things that help. Make each word a gift. Let your words build others up and give grace to those who hear. In other words, watch carefully what you say. And what this means is that when we are speaking to others, we should prioritize their needs. When you talk, don't just say things that build yourself up. You say things to build other people up. I mean, usually what we do is we are trying to make our point. And we want to win the argument. And we want to get the last word in. And we want to sound as if we're really smart. So Paul flips the script and tells us that instead of using words to build ourselves up, we should use words to build others up. So about 2 months ago, Annalise and I were driving back from Boston after attending our daughter's graduation from college. And so we were listening to a podcast by Andy Stanley. Andy is the pastor of North Point Ministries, a very large church in the Atlanta area. And he's a well-respected leader and author of many books on leadership. And in the podcast, he was interviewing a woman by the name of Kathleen Edelman. And Kathleen has one goal in life, and that is to help people to learn to speak kindly to one another. And she's been doing it for 25 years. She wrote a book called I Said This, You Heard That. And the book is about how your wiring, how your temperament colors your communication. Not your personality, but your temperament. Your temperament is kind of like the why behind your personality. It's how God wired you. It's what you are naturally predisposed to. That's your temperament. And like your eye color or fingerprint, it's something that you really cannot change. Temperament is why, you know, some people are drawn to the spotlight and stage and others are content with a cubicle in a quiet office. And so, you know, according to studies in history, there are 4 different temperaments. And each one is predisposed to speak and hear certain words. And so your temperament is like your first or your native language. It's what comes naturally to you when you speak. So when someone engages you in conversation, you automatically respond in this language. You don't even have to think about it. So based on your temperament, I mean, you speak the language of people and fun, or the language of power and control, or the language of calm and harmony, or the language of perfection and order. And so what Kathleen is saying is that if you've ever said the wrong thing or said the right thing the wrong way, then you know how quickly your mouth can make a really, really big mess. But it doesn't have to be that way. In any case, Annelies and I found it kind of like fascinating, and we tried to identify our own temperaments and those of our children and even those of some of you, by the way. And so we did a little exercise on this during one of our elders meetings a month or so ago, and we found it to be interesting and stimulating and helpful in understanding one another better, because it will also help our communication with one another. And so I discussed it with Consistory as well, and I'm very excited to share with you that we will be doing a six-week study here at CCD in the fall. And the study explores how your wiring affects what you say, and how you listen, and how others hear you. And if you participate, you'll be taking like a 40-question assessment that will enable you to identify your own temperament and then learn a simple framework that will instantly improve your communication. And at the end of the study, you'll know the words you need to hear from others and the words your loved ones need to hear from you, and the words you're most likely to use as weapons and the words that will wound your loved ones. And so it's going to improve the communication in your marriage and in your other relationships and your communication with your children and with your fellow church members. And you will see how advice from the Apostle Paul thousands of years ago may have held the secret all along. So I'll be providing more information on this, but be ready to sign up and find out what language you speak. You know, the first thing a doctor will say when you go for a checkup is stick out your tongue. She uses your tongue to check your health. You know, God does that too, but spiritually. In the Second World War, there was a saying, loose lips sink ships. Well, loose lips also destroy lives. They hurt. And we get ourselves into so much trouble at what we say and what we think and what we speak. You see, our Creator has given us tongues to use as tools to build others up according to their needs. And the words we fashion using those tongues can serve the cause of justice or injustice. Or kindness, or callousness, of compassion, or exploitation, of love, or hate. And so when we choose our words, may we choose wisely. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we understand and we thank you for making us and creating us in such a wonderful way. Help us to understand that our tongue can be like a sharp razor. that our words can cut like a knife. God, we know that your purpose, your goal for us is to build others up with our words, with what we say, and not to tear them down. And yet we so often find that we say things we regret, and we have other people say things to us that hurt us deeply. I pray that as we will have this opportunity to go deeper into who we are, how you made us, and how we use our words, and what are the words we should hear and use, I pray that you will open our hearts and make people willing to engage in that self-discovery about who they are and how they can come improve their communication. Forgive us for the things we say that we should not say or regret or mean, and help us, God, through your power and your spirit, to be wise in how we speak, wise in the words we choose, so that we will truly build others up. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.